All right, guys, in John chapter 6, we're going to start verse 15. We've already read it, and so I'm not going to go too crazy here and read it again, because we got a lot to get to. Hey, guys, this is miracle number 5. These miracles, like these passages, are really loaded with good content. So this one here today, like we read earlier, is, you know, after Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people, now he puts the disciples on a ship, and all of a sudden the wind gets boisterous, and they're trying to row, and there's kind of a storm scenario, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now, we read in John chapter 6 this morning, and you might have thought to yourself, I thought Peter walked on water with him. And he did. John doesn't mention it. I think he was jealous of Peter, honestly. I don't know. But this particular miracle is found in 3 of the Gospels. And I am going to do a bunch of bouncing around to each of them. So just to let you know, if you want to, you can make your way. You got these ribbons in your Bible. There's a purpose. If you're on a phone, man, you can just switch quick. But if you need to put these ribbons, use them. Put one in John chapter 6. I'd like you to put another one over in Matthew chapter 14, and in verse 22 it starts the story. And then also in the book of Mark chapter 6, in verse 45 through 52. Now listen, Jordan might try to get them verses up there, but I might be moving pretty quick. It might be hard for him to do this. So we're going to be in John chapter 6, but there's things that get added that we can see to the story details in Mark 6, 45, and also in Matthew 14, 22. So those 3 chunks of Scripture, we're just going to be going crazy. Now, this story starts off in Matthew by saying this in verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The book of Mark starts off very similar and says the same thing. Jesus told the disciples, get in a boat, go before me to the other side, and he sent the multitudes of people away. The book of John starts off a little differently. In John chapter 6 and verse 15, it says this. John 6 and verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered the ship. It's the same story, but John clues us in on something. And it's that Jesus perceived something that other people did not. So gang, that's what your first point for taking notes. I'd write that down. Did you know Jesus perceives things that others do not? We've seen that the disciples are constrained to get the boat and go to the other side, go before the other side. But Jesus perceives something. Man, he's doing all these miracles. They would bum rush him in there and say, this is our king. But everybody wants to do this to Jesus, but it was not time. And by the way, it was prophesied, first of all, that the crown he would wear is not a king's crown. He was going to wear a crown of thorns, the prophet told us. And so just to let you know this, it totally wasn't time. And so Jesus departed into a mountain himself, all by himself. And by the way, something about Jesus, man. All the time in the Gospels, it would say, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. Do you know that Jesus knows our thoughts? We don't know each other's thoughts. You think you might, especially if you've been married a long time, you think you know each other's thoughts. But truth be known, we don't. But Jesus does. Jesus perceives things that others do not. Do you see the importance of getting in God's Word every day? Do you see the importance of getting His opinion, His thoughts on the matter? Because He perceives things that I do not. I need to know this, and He knew this. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, this is that verse that people quote quite a bit that says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. And they really are not, because He thinks higher. Now listen, His thoughts can be your thoughts. His ways can be your ways. Find out what He thinks. Don't just claim that. People claim that all the time. I'm like, dude, get in the Bible, man. The Bible has the answer to that one, right? So Jesus perceived things that others do not. Another thing I'd like to point out is that, you know, It does say that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. So just know that Jesus initiated that, told them to get the boat. And in Matthew 14, if you're there, he'll say this. He constrained the disciples to get in the ship and to go before him into the other side. You guys get in the boat and go before me to the other side. Because they just left a multitude of people. That's why it says it here, why he sent the multitudes away. So something else you can write down. Jesus initiated them to get in this boat and go before him. He initiated this journey. Because we know the wind's coming up and a storm's coming up. Jesus initiated that? Yes, he does. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, that's how you can stand in the middle of a wind battle, in the middle of a storm. When your boat's being rocked, if you know that your life and you're following the call of Christ and you can trust him for his guidance in your life, you can say, my gosh, he initiated this. I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to do what he said. Let me throw out another point here. This is just kind of beautiful. Do you realize a multitude of people? Like, Jesus is a hero here. Do you realize this? He's doing miracles. The fame of Jesus is spreading abroad everywhere to the point where these Jews are like, let's make him the king. We want him to be the king, and then we're going to bum rush and force this thing. But here's a good point, and it's very good for us to hear this. I want you to know that Jesus chose to be alone instead of being in the center of the stage in front of the multitudes. That's a good point, isn't it? Jesus knew it was time to get alone. He sent the multitudes away. You find this in the Gospels where Jesus would do this kind of frequently, and you think, really? He could influence more people. Gang, there's a principle for you and me here. One, don't be a people pleaser. Be careful pleasing men over pleasing God. The Bible says that Jesus, and you'll see this, he'll often leave the multitude to go be alone. And here's the deal. We all know that, like, work or okay, hey mom, it's Mother's Day. Let me make this practical for you. You got all your kiddos, you got your husband, you got a lot to do, man, especially if you work a job outside the home. Like, you're doing all this stuff and your life is so chaos and busy, and you're at full attention, and you're important. That's why a lot of moms, you know what they do? They lose their minds when their kids leave. Because they always made, like, their purpose, their sole reason for existence was for these kids. And a lot of mamas, when their kids go away, I'm telling you, they melt. Listen here, mom, I'd like to just make this practical for you today. It's important every day for you to tell your kids to get away from you. It's important every day for you to lead the multitudes. Lead that responsibility. I don't care if you have to get up even earlier in the morning or stay up late at night. It's so important for you to be alone. Jesus would go alone and talk to his Father. There's bigger priorities than having the perfect breakfast on the table, right? Even though a lot of moms don't put breakfast on the table anymore. I wish you'd go back to that a little bit more, a lot of moms. But Jesus chose to be alone. Let's learn something from him here. Guys, we all need to be alone with him. You know why? It's like me. Man, I'm picking things up. People want me to haul this, put this in my truck. I'm doing this. I got to go get this. I'm running all over. I got to get to the church. I got all this stuff to do. But you know what I got to do? Once a week, I got to get alone. And I got to go into the Circle K. And I scan my little card if I can so I can get my 25 cents off on each gallon of gasoline all by myself. And you know what they did now? You start pumping your gas. As soon as I start pumping that gas, the TV kicks on beside me. I hate that. I'm like, my gosh, I'm here alone to fill the tank up. I'm not here to watch your commercials. You know? But we need to get alone. Because you'll find yourself in a spot one day with the multitudes of people, with your spouse, with your children. And you'll run out of gas. And don't run out of fuel. Jesus knew it. He's like, okay, now's not the time. Send the multitudes away. He even sent the disciples on that ship. Go before me. And he'd get alone. And we'd see this in Scripture where he'd go. I'll tell you one thing. Jesus is not a man pleaser, was he? Woo! Man, he pleased his Father. And I love this, man. I love this about him. I want to be more like him. You know? Well, we know what happens here in this story. He sent his disciples. It says in verse 16 of John, that and when even was now come, his disciples went down the sea, entered a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them yet. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. If you're in the other passages, you'll see the same type of thing, is that, you know, he constrained them. They're out on the sea. Guys, we can notice a few things. It was dark. It was eventide, so it got dark. And then the wind blew. So what's cool about this is, you guys know, every night it gets dark. Every night. But sometimes in our life, you get to a bad spot. And I've had people tell me this, like they're utterly depressed. I'm like, hey gang, welcome to planet Earth. It gets dark every night. And then we see the wind rise up. Hey guys, sometimes the wind goes contrary to you. I'm sorry. Guys, and I don't know why in our family, I mean, I got a daughter that got plagued with leukemia. She's going to struggle her whole life with her joints. If you look at the stats of somebody that had leukemia, it's very likely if Jesus don't come back, I might have to bury my daughter before I go. I know that. And guess what? Sometimes the wind's contrary to you. I don't know. And some of you got stories to tell. You got things that happened to you. And I don't know. Because life is life, man. Sometimes the seas are... Why do we think being a Christian is smooth sailing? It's not smooth sailing, is it? No, it's not. You guys have, if you've not seen the movie Moneyball, it's a good one, for especially for leadership. Don't you like where, do you remember the Moneyball story where he's in the living room, he's trying to get an ex-pitcher who got a surgery and he can't throw anymore. But he got on base all the time, so he's like, we're going to make him a first baseman. And so there's this older coach manager sitting there, and Brad Pitt's selling this guy. He's like, hey, dude, we're going to have to play, we want you to play first base. And the dude's like, I've never played first base. I'm not a first baseman. He goes, listen, don't worry about it. It's easy. He isn't a coach. And the guy goes, it's incredibly hard. He just goes, no, it stinks. But that's a seasoned guy right there. Sometimes the wind blows, don't it? Sometimes the seas roar. Sometimes it's dark. So gang, don't think, you know, there's temptations, the Bible says, there's no temptation taking you. And then it says this phrase, but such as is common to man. I could sit my whole life and cry and think of all the bad things in my life. Or I could go up to St. Jude's and greet people because a lot of them families are getting ready to lose their kids this week. Wow, it's all, well, Bo preached a few weeks ago, didn't he? It's perspective. It's perspective. Jesus, I know you perceive things, but others do not. Ever meet somebody that's got a lot of money? You're like, man, why can't that be me? I don't know. I'm just assuming Jesus perceives something that I don't. And I just do better when I'm humble. I just serve Him better when I'm more broken. I hate that. I hate that about it. Sometimes I've had adult men look me in the eye and say, dude, you're a knucklehead. Because I hate that I'm a knucklehead. I wish I wasn't a knucklehead, but you know what I love about Jesus? He meets me in the spot where I'm at my weakness. He perceives things others do not, even though I find myself in the middle of some crashing sometimes. You know what's crazy when you're looking at the story? It says in John 6:19, so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, like 25 or 30 furlongs. I know this much. So check this out. Jesus is alone. The disciples are in a boat. They're going to the other side before Jesus. And we find in all these passages, it says, if you're in Mark, if not, you can just listen to it. Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. And Jesus, he saw them toiling in rowing. Toiling. He uses the word toiling. You know what the word toil means? To grow weary, like to exhaust yourself. They're stressed out, man. They're distressed, man. They're pushing it here. Like, you know what I believe? The wind was contrary to them. The storm was coming. They're trying to get there. These guys, though, most of them are professionals at the boat. There's nothing in here, in this particular story, that says the disciples were frightened because of the dark. They're in the dark all the time, I would say. There's nothing in this story that really says that they were frightened because of the waves. Because guess what? If you're a professional seaman, then you're a guy on the sea. You're familiar with this. I remember going out to Belize and I'm like, dude, Brother Jerry, like, what do you do when the storms come, man? That's crazy. I can't imagine. Like, I've been out on a small boat when it started getting rough. I'm like, we got to get off. And he goes, what do you do when you're hours from home and you're out in the middle of the sea? And he says, oh, he goes, we can see the storms and the clouds or the way it's working, the direction it's coming from. He goes, I'll just go to find an island out there. We go to one side of the island and we tie off to some trees. I was like, so all these years since a boy, you've been on out in the ocean. And you've never, like, flipped a boat? He goes, no. He's a professional. He's professional. And he knows exactly what he's doing. I was with a guy fishing in the Mississippi one time, way in the back there. We got way back with all those little islands, and the water got shallow. And you could hear the propeller hitting the bottom. And I was just like, man, dude, you better slow this thing down, man. We're going to tear something up. You know, he did just the opposite. He cranked it. And that boat rose up out of the water. We took off. He knew what he was. He grew up in the river his whole life. I didn't. I'd have been out there paddling, you know. But he was a professional. That's what these guys are. Notice it says they rode like 25, 30 furlongs, right? You know what that would be? Do the math on this thing. That was up to probably 3 3/4 of a mile. Like these guys are getting busy, man. They are toiling. Basically, they're rowing their butts off. That's what they're doing. And Rihanna didn't write the song. They did. Work, 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 work. That's what they're doing. Toiling. They're going to work, man. They're working. They're exhausting themselves trying to get it in. I like that word toil. Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about lilies of the field. You know, they don't toil. They're not sweating it. They're not growing weary. They're just being lilies, man. Right? They toil not. Or do you remember the disciples in Luke chapter 5? They come in from a night of fishing and Jesus is there going, hey, launch out into the deep. What? Launch out into the deep? We've been fishing. We have toiled all the night. We have been working, working, working all night long. And here's what I like what they say. And have taken nothing. I love that. Because there's a great principle right here that we're going to learn from this story. Because they toil all night and taken nothing. Many, and we're told to work harder. There's all kinds of social media out there right now on be a hustler, right? Work. When everybody's sleeping, you work, right? You work, work. Do all this stuff. And it'll tell you all, if you want to be an influencer, you got to do the get up, family. You're all the time work, work, working, working, working. But what they don't tell you the end of that story. Most people end up in burnout. Because they toil, 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 and they get nothing. Every once in a while, somebody strikes gold. Every once in a while. But it don't happen very often. So I guess I just want you to know, it's human instinct, human reason. You're supposed to, Jesus says, go before me the other side. So they start going over. The wind starts coming in contrary to them. That's what the Bible says. The wind was contrary. The waves start coming, so they had to toil. We work hard. Life ain't going so good. We buckle down and work hard. Hey, that sounds good. That's like a good Midwestern. Yeah, get after it, man. You know, put in more time. That's what you do. I understand that mentality. But in Luke chapter 5, they toiled and didn't bring nothing in. And here they are. They're toiling, working, 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 working. And it don't seem to be doing much. They're several miles in. And what I love about what we see next is, if you look at John chapter 6 and verse 19. So when they rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. And watch this. And drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. They weren't scared of the dark. They weren't scared of the storm. But now the supernatural came into their life. They look out and they're like, what the? There were sailors, I'm assuming they said some words like that. What in God's name? And they look out and Jesus is drawing nigh to them. So, I'm going to bounce around here a little bit, but I want you to know that it was in the darkest of the night. It was in the winds going contrary. This is when Jesus went to them. It says in Matthew 14 and verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. In Mark 6:48, it says very similar, but it just says, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them about the fourth watch of the night. He cometh unto them. Then we've already read in John, it says, he draweth nigh to the ship. Jesus went into them. It's dark. They're professionals. There's kind of a storm brewing. You know how it is. This thing's going, right? The wind is contrary to them. They're supposed to meet Jesus on the other side. And like always, in every verse in the Bible that teaches this, you know why Jesus came unto them? Because they were toiling with all their might, and they were not going to get to Him. It's just like salvation. It's just like salvation. Romans 3:23 says, all for all of sin, but here's the bad part. Fall short of the glory of God. Some might get closer than others, but at the end of the day, nobody's getting there. We all fall short. Remember feeding the 5,000? Well, Jesus said, how are you going to feed these people? Anyway, well, if we spent this much money, how in God's name are we going to get all these people fed? 5,000 plus people to feed. And what do we got? Well, I got a value meal from McDonald's. Not so value meals, what I call them now. There's no value meals at McDonald's anymore. Got a value meal, we can feed everybody, can't we? Guess what? No, it will not feed everybody. Yeah, this is why Jesus went into them. Hey guys, I know some of you might be striving right now in your life. You might be toiling. Some people do this. Like, I'm trying my best. I'm working extra hard. I'm doing some things different. I'm just trying to get closer to the Lord. And man, I'm trying this week to read every day. And I'm just trying. You ever think sometimes, like, you are trying way too hard, my friend. It's not in the toiling that you're going to come to Jesus. In your darkness, in your toiling, in the winds are contrary, if you would sit still, you would find He's coming to you. He's coming to you. This boat was in the middle of the sea, Matthew 14. Are you in the middle of some serious trouble right now? Tossed with waves, Matthew 14 tells us. I like the word contrary. That's where it says Matthew and Mark. Both of them passages says the wind was contrary. A nice little breeze, a nice cool breeze on a hot day is nice, isn't it? I don't know about you, but you ever go walking or jogging? You know what I hate? I hate when the wind is in your face. I hate that. Even people on race day, you know, when the wind's out there, whether you're on foot or even in some sort of vehicle in your racing, nobody's going to break records that day. Now, if the wind gets behind you, you can make up some time for sure. But guys that do sailing and all that today, no records are getting broke on the day usually where the winds are just going to be contrary to people. It just doesn't happen. But I noticed that Jesus didn't come in the dark. It wasn't just the dark that drew Him near. It was when the boat was in the middle. It was when the boat was having, it was contrary, right? And so, I want to point out three things. Three things take place here. And did you realize Peter did walk on water, but you only find this in the passage in Matthew. You don't find it in Mark, you don't find it in John. But I want to point out three things right now. What the disciples saw, what Peter saw, and then I want to point out what Jesus saw. You ready for this one? Let's look first of all in these passages, what the disciples saw. Well, we're in John chapter 6 here, right? And in verse 19 it says, so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. Now, they were afraid, and you know why they were afraid? Because the other Gospels, if you go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 49, it says, and when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit. Then they cried out. So even though, yeah, they see Jesus walking on the sea, at first they did not know this was Jesus. Because, you know, the supernatural is taking place here. If you go to the book of Matthew, Matthew 14 and verse 26, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So here's grown men. These guys are tough. You ever watch those shows like these Alaskan fishermen? Watch these shows without all them icy waters and pulling in salmon and all. These guys, and some of them are skinny, and they look like, I'm like, man, that guy looks like a meth head. I wouldn't fight him. You watch him on that boat, the stuff he'll do. Like these men, these are like real men. Like they're tough, you know. And so, All of a sudden, it gets dark out. They're not afraid. Hey, it's windy out. Hey, we've got to work a little harder, get her ashore. They ain't scared. These are real men. And all of a sudden, they see a figure walking upon the water. And all of a sudden, you know what happens then, right? It says they cried out because of fear. You ever do that? Some mechanics in there working away at your work, and you just go up and you're just like, hey, John, geez, what are you doing to me, man? You know, sorry, dude. And then you go, it was so fun, you start doing that stuff on purpose to people, right? Because these are grown men, and these guys are really, really tough, and they're not afraid of nothing. And all of a sudden, they're screaming like children. They're terrified because they think they've seen a spirit. This is unusual. All of a sudden, here's Jesus walking on the water, coming on too. So the very, isn't it funny? They're toiling. They're working. They're fighting their guts off to get to this certain destination. And Jesus is just walking on the water. I love that. In the other passage where there was a storm, Jesus is on the boat with them. And remember, he was downstairs. They're screaming for their lives, thinking they're going to die. And Jesus is down taking a snooze, man. He's taking a nap. Yeah, the things that frighten us, isn't that something? Jesus Christ. So this thing is manipulating their boat. It's taking them off course. They're fighting. They're rowing almost 4 miles right at this point to try to get this to the spot where they're supposed to go before and meet Jesus. They're working their guts out to get this boat because this wind and the sea and the waters are controlling them. That's what life will do to you, by the way. Life will take you where it wants you to go. If you don't make decisions and put things in place, I'm telling you, that's why it's so contrary. Gravity will suck you down. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like strolling on the waves, man. He's walking on the water. You know? That's what he does. The things that take us and take our lives in different directions, they do not affect the Lord. Matter of fact, we know the stories about them. Remember Jesus Christ? Oh, you guys woke me up. And he goes up and he goes, man, peace be still. And the storm's like, done. Jesus said the word. This is Jesus. The creator of the seas, the creator of the waves, was walking on top of the water. This is our God. This is Jesus. So the disciples see Jesus walking. You know what their response was? We read the response, right? It's a spirit. Oh, what is that? I don't know. They're afraid. They're scared. That stuff is scary. By the way, I like scary movies. But them scary movies, man, that deal with the spiritual, they get you, man. They're the ones where you're like laying in bed and all of a sudden you're like, my gosh. You know, real life situations, okay, I can deal with some. But when it enters the supernatural, you're like, what is that? And you know, people are like, no, it can't be. I don't believe in ghosts. Do you? None of them believe in ghosts. But Peter, it's getting closer. You know, they're watching this thing unfold. So Jesus, they see Jesus, the disciples, walking on water. Their response is what? Well, what our response would be? Everybody peed their pants. That's what happened. You know what I like about this? They didn't know who it was. They thought it was a spirit. They're scared. And if you want to look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, I love this. Their response was, pee in the pants. Jesus' response in verse 27 was this, but straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Notice this. It is I. Be not afraid. He says this in the book of Mark, too. He says the same thing. Jesus' response is, but guys, I want to point out something. I want to point out two words. The first word is going to be here in Matthew 14:27. Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Three things he pops out there, right? But what I like about verse 27, it says, and straightway. Straightway Jesus spoke. If you look at Mark 6, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 50, it says, and they saw him, they were troubled, and then it says this in Mark, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I don't know, when a storm's going on, it's loud, man. It's loud, things are blowing, the boat's there, they're rowing, they're towing, all this stuff is happening, and all of a sudden it says that Jesus talked to them. Isn't it, to me, listen to this, you know how it is when there's a lot of noise. You're at a concert and you want to tell somebody something. You're like next to you, you're like, and you look over at your buddy and you can tell he's like screaming his guts out, trying to tell you something. You know, you want a hot dog? You want to? They're screaming. You're just all you see is you don't hear anything. And I like how the Bible just says the word like, and Jesus immediately talked. Listen to me. Humans, yeah, we got to scream. You got to get people's attention, you know, especially in loud situations and trauma. People don't listen. That's why in movies you got to slap somebody. All of a sudden you got their attention, you know. Jesus' voice is louder than the storms in your life. His voice is so clear, but you got to listen to it. You got to focus, don't you? He's coming. In the middle of this storm, this water, he's walking. He gets there, and then his voice, Jesus responds, and immediately says, "Be of good cheer." Isn't that wild? Be of good cheer. Well, there's a story in Matthew that it adds to this. Can I take you there, everybody, if you want to make your way to Matthew, just so you can see this in detail. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. So, in 27, Jesus says, he spake, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Be of good cheer. Good cheer. This is what Jesus says. Be of good cheer, it is I. Good cheer. Isn't that funny? Jesus says in John 16, he goes, "Hey, in this world you're going to have a lot of tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." "Well, I'm going through a lot of tribulation right now." Jesus, "Yeah, be of good cheer. It's a choice. It's a choice to have courage in the midst of tribulation. In the midst of not knowing what this was, when they're scared, they're not doing a very good job getting this boat where it's going to go. Like, life's not feeling good. Then they look up and they're scared. They're like, something supernatural's happened. There's a spirit, looks like it's walking towards them. And Jesus says, "Hey, be of good cheer." So you can choose to have courage in the midst of being afraid. Because, you know, modern doctors, modern psychology is going to tell you that that can't be done. Depends on what you've been through in life, who you are, the trauma you've faced. They'll tell you all this stuff. Sometimes you know how it is, you look at somebody, you're like, "Hey dude, I'm telling you, man, you just have to have some courage here." You're like, "I can't. It's easy for you to say. Because you..." And they always say all this. I'm telling you, I'm just simply looking at God's Word. Jesus says, "Hey, be of good cheer. Cheer up, my friends. Have some courage." Paul's sitting in prison in Acts chapter 23, thinking maybe he's where he maybe shouldn't be, because he got some warnings and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, the Lord makes sure he shows up that night. Here he is sitting in prison. And he says, "Be of good cheer, Paul. You're going to witness me in this place. I'm going to use you right here." So you can be in the middle behind bars, and you can have courage. You can be of good cheer. Don't believe it. I wouldn't believe it if I was you. I'm going to believe it, but you don't believe it. I would believe what culture teaches. I would believe that the storms in life are louder than the voice of Jesus. I believe that. There's a book I read, because it got big into psychology, and it was like, it's called Emotional Healthy Spirituality. That's the name of the book, written by a Christian psychologist, which is kind of a contradiction in terms. Christian psychologist. Because Christians believe the Bible. Psychologists don't tend to. They tend to want to study the mind and work through medicine. And like, I'm just telling you, if you dig in a little bit, you'll find out there's a ton of contradictions there. I'm a Bible believer, so give me that, right? I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. I'm a knucklehead. I'm a fisherman. And I believe the Bible. That's what I believe what God's Word says. You? I believe that the voice of Jesus is more clear than the dark of the night, than the middle of the sea, than the waves going contrary to me. I believe it, man. And folks, I can testify, I'm 54 years old. It's never failed me yet. But people still get wigged out. And the first thing they want to do... By the way, did you notice? They did not cry out like, "Jesus, help! We're stuck!" going to get in this boat. Where it's going to go. This is what they did for a living. I don't need Jesus for this. We've done this many a time. I got her under control. I don't want to bother Jesus with something simple like this. They weren't going very far. They were on the treadmill thinking they were getting to a location. Nope, it don't work that way. Now when the Spirit pops up and they see Jesus walking on the water, that's when they poop the pants a little bit. They're like, oh dear God! They start crying out. And of course, Jesus immediately responds to this. Be of good cheer. And then watch this. Guys, listen. Life can be throwing you in a direction you don't want to go. It's dark. It's like this. People do this all. They do it all the time. We're getting ready to talk parenting here in a few weeks. And this is the big one. Because you know what parents do? You tend to believe what's taught in culture. What's the popular teaching online. You know, it used to be, back in the 70s, it used to be a guy by the name of Spock, man, wrote that parenting book, and everybody just fell in love with it and believed everything it said and just ignored the Bible. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, the Bible says this, yeah, but no, here's what we've studied and here's what we've believed and found out. I don't care what you've studied. Because you know what breaks through all the noise and all the wind and all the contradictions? The voice of Jesus is clear as a bell. Take in on your parenting advice over what people are telling you. And you will not be popular. Go find yourself some friends. And you know where you're going to find friends at? At the crazy place where everybody's crazy. And everybody's got opinions. And everybody's fighting. And everybody's all mixed up and jacked up. And we got, what? What in God's name? Jeez. Peter, in Matthew 14, 20, Peter answered it. After he says, be of good cheer. I like these. Be of good cheer. How can I do that? How can I be of courage and of good cheer now? He says, it is I. The great I am. It is I. Don't fear. There's some trouble, trauma. Jesus knew darn well. He perceived everything that was going to take place, and he put him in this boat on purpose. This all happened. It was all part of his teaching, his discipleship. He says, it is I. And then he says, be not afraid. The presence of Jesus can overcome your fear. That's what the Bible says. If you don't want to believe it, there's about 6 churches in town that you might want to try next week. Because they don't believe it either. I believe it. I believe the voice of Jesus is powerful. It says in Matthew 14, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. What's funny about this is Peter, we know Peter's bold. We've talked about Peter before. And so here Peter is the loudmouth disciple. Jesus never says, it's me, Jesus. Come on out and see. You can walk on water. He don't say that. Peter speaks up and says, Lord, if it's you, then bid me come out. What's Jesus say? Well, come. Come on. It says in verse 29, when Peter was come out down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus was coming to them. Jesus was drawing nigh to the ship. Now Peter says, bid me come. Jesus says, come. So Peter started going to Jesus. Verse 30 says, but when he saw what? Jesus? No, he found out it was Jesus because he believed his word. But when he saw the wind boisterous, it says in verse 30, he was afraid. Now here is tough Peter. He was scared because he thought he'd seen a spirit. Once they found out it was Jesus, he's like, I'm cool now. It's Jesus. Jesus, it's you. Bid me come. Jesus, come on. Peter gets out there, and guess what? Jesus made it look like a walk in the park, man. I mean, Jesus says, yeah, the storms don't faze him. This is the creator of the universe. He's smooth sailing, right? Peter gets out there, and I think Peter thought in his mind was going to be like, hey, look, guys! Woo! Yeah! Look at me! It wasn't that at all. He got out there, and it was rocky, man. The wind was contrary. He's on it. Now, he's walking, and he's going towards Jesus. But Peter, who's a professional fisherman, he's been in weird situations before late at night. A lot of crazy things have happened to him. And when Peter's afraid, everybody would be afraid. I'm just telling you. He was afraid, but notice what it says next. And began to sink. So Peter was afraid. So The disciples seen Jesus walking on the water. Their response was, "My gosh, I'm scared and terrified." And Jesus' response to them was, straightway and immediately, he said, "I'm going to speak to you. Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid." Well, Peter sees the wind. Peter's response was definitely fear, but then he began to sink. Isn't this a crazy story? Because Jesus told him to come. So, he listened to Jesus, even though he initiated it. He initiated, he's going towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, eyes off of Jesus, focusing on the circumstances around him. And he starts fearing in his heart. I don't know about you, the only thing I can equate this to is like being at an amusement park. Like you get on a ride, I'll ride that thing, I'm afraid of none of that stuff. You get on there and all of a sudden, you know, and it's taking you up real slow, and you're like, yeah, woo, 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 woo! You're just like ready for this thing. And I don't know about you, but especially if you're in the ending car, you can, either the front one's scary or the back one's even scary. So all of a sudden you start hearing screaming ahead of you, you're like, what's up there? What is that? And then all of a sudden it whips you off the top of it. Then all of a sudden, this thing that you were anticipating, by the time it's over, you know, or they get you three stories up and they get you down and your cart starts dangling. They're like, what's this? Why is this thing called the demon drop? And it don't give you any warning. You can't even figure out the timing and it drops. And then all of a sudden, you poop your pants. That's what happens. Here's Peter walking, thinking, all of a sudden he gets his eyes off of Jesus and circumstances around him. You know what the Bible says? He began to sink. He began to sing. Man, gang, we could be a disciple of Christ, walking with the Lord. You know how many people I've watched through the years? Sink. They're sunk. They started looking out at a culture, looking at other things other than the real goal of God getting glory, taking their eyes off of Jesus Christ. Oh, and it's just a season, my friend, you're never coming back. Don't fool yourself. Everybody says, well, it's just a season right now. Yeah, I'd like to talk to your wife or your spouse about that. It's just a season right now. This has been our whole married life. This ain't the season. This is how it is. And he's sinking. The good news was he had enough sense. So Peter, he sees the wind. His response is he's afraid. And the best thing he ever did is when he cried. And you know, you look at this and he's tough, man. This is Peter. You know, you watch these UFC fighters, like they don't have no fear. They're calling each other names. I'll slap you and your grandmother in her grave is going to turn over. You know, they're talking all this stuff. I'll slap you so hard your kid's going to see the dentist tomorrow. You know, all this stuff. They talk all this tough stuff. And here's Peter, probably tougher than any of them, walking, looks around, sees the waves, and all of a sudden, eyes off at Jesus, he begins to sink. And what's Peter do? I like the word, he cries. Save me. I don't think it was like, hey Jesus, I'm going down here. Hey Jesus, a little help. He cried. He cried like a 2-year-old girl getting stung by a wasp. He cried. He says, dear Jesus. He screamed, save me. Save me! He knew he was going down. He knew he was not going to recover. Now, what I love this is Peter goes through this. So what's Jesus' response to all this? You know what the Bible says? Jesus' response, Matthew chapter 14, verse 5, and immediately. Man, we're seeing these words straightway. Immediately. Jesus ain't playing. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I told you to come. And you doubt it. But this is impossible. Like, I'm living and walking a life that really, I can't believe this is happening, you know? What in the world? You know, and also because of doubt, because of the waves. Hey, Christian, we can never doubt. The waves will come. They're going to go contrary to you. Now, I know Peter initiated this thing. I heard a whole message on this before, just to let you know. I heard a whole message. Somebody preached on how Peter's a rebel. And you'd have to agree if you know who Peter is. Jesus never told the disciples to get out of the boat. They were fearful because he was coming to them. Jesus never said, okay, everybody out on the water. Never said that. He told them to get in the boat, get to the other side before him. They were doing exactly what they were told to do. Peter initiated this and said, "Oh Lord," he was a little risky. He was a faith taker, for sure. Some people would say he's a little stupid. Maybe. I bet out of all the disciples, you imagine sitting around 3 years later and they're all in a house and everybody would be like, "Oh, that's funny, man. Oh, that's good, man. That's a great story. Hey, oh, no, no, no. Hey, Peter, tell the story about walking on water." He had stories to tell. Because he was rescued and saved. So just to let you know, though, the other disciples, I don't want to brag on Peter because they were obedient. They were in a boat. They never left. There's something to be said for that, isn't there? There's a pastor friend of mine who's just probably as sharp as I'll never be. And every time I talk with him, and the other day I found myself in a bad spot. And I was in a bad spot. I was sitting there. I thought, you know what? That dude would never be where I'm at right now. He's sharper, smarter, bigger, badder than me. When I was talking to him, I actually told this to him. He said, "Man, thanks." He said, "I don't have stories to tell like you all the time. You have stories of God coming through, and sometimes I know you say it's stupid, and you knucklehead, you make mistakes, but..." And the Lord has reached His hand out and pulled you up so many times. I wish I had that. Well, there is a fear of living our Christian lives controlled. Where, like the disciples, they never called on Jesus when the storm was there, because they've done this before. They only call on Him when they're seen in a ghost. They're seen a ghost. Who is that out there? I'll tell you who it is. It's the mermaid from Starbucks. That's who it is. That mermaid's coming to you. She's going to sell you a caramel macchiato. She's going to get $7 from you every time you come in. It's terrible. That's exactly what's fixing to happen here. But I love this because Jesus immediately stretched forth His hand and saved him and says, "Hey, you got some problems." Now, let me get to this point. Jesus also sees something in this story. And the Bible says this in John 6:19. What's it say? John 6:19. "So when they had rowed about 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But He said to them, 'It is I,'" right? So when they had rowed, they were rowing. But let me tell you what Jesus sees. If you look at Mark 6 and verse 48, He saw them toiling and rowing. Jesus seen them toiling and they're rowing. Jesus seen it. He's seen them working extra hard. Remember that song, that Christian song? I used to love the song. "Why are you striving these days?" Like, why are you Christian? Why are you fighting this and working your guts on every... you're anxious about everything. And Jesus sees. He sees the disciples toiling in the rowing. They went so far. You know what Jesus' response is? It's beautiful. In Mark 6, He says in verse 48, "He saw them toiling in the rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. About the fourth watch of the night, what did He do? He cometh to them." Hey, Christian, I know you're working your guts out. It's the Mary Martha story. Jesus had to end up coming. Mary's like, "I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus." Mary's chosen the better part. Martha's in there serving, complaining nobody's working as hard as she does. You know how it is. We got people like that in our church. You think you do everything around here. Everything was done before you got here. It'll be done when you're gone. Even though you play a great part. Don't think I'm saying that. I'm just saying this is what happens when we start toiling and working and doing everything. And all of a sudden, I just want you to know something really beautiful. In the midst of the toil, the Bible says in Mark 6:48, Jesus cometh unto them. It's not like Jesus is like, "Looks like you got it. Keep toiling." No, He doesn't. He's a God that's filled with compassion. In John 6:19, He draws nigh to the ship. Man, I love it. So here Jesus is. This story, what I love about it, the disciples are heading to a place, the storms arise, it's dark in the night, and what's beautiful about it, Jesus comes up, and I'm like, "Hey, Jesus is good, isn't He?" I mean, if you was Jesus, wouldn't you scare people? Even after He resurrected, He did it. They're in the upper room, and the door's closed. Bible says the door's closed, everything's locked up, and what's Jesus do? He comes through the wall! In like spirit form, and everybody's like, "Ah! Jesus!" Because He can do that type of stuff. But you know, you know what He does? Most of the time, in the midst of your toiling, in the midst of the sweat, He's drawing near. Gang, the problem here is we don't draw near to Him. But this is why He comes to us. So I want you to know that in the midst of your failure for drawing near to Him, you'd think He'd be like, That's it. That's three check marks. You're getting a spanking. That was my third grade class growing up. They still spanked in school back then. You get three check marks, you get a spanking. Dang it. That's what you did. You got tapped with the ruler for everybody to see up on the board. Mike, like, bad. That's bad. Jesus comes along and says, hey guys, be a good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. I love these words. We see with Peter, that whole Peter, that could preach a whole other message. The disciples in the boat, everybody. What's neat too, Peter is Peter, right? He's not the pumpkin eater. But Peter, what he is a little bit bolder. He's a little more brash. And guys, I love that Jesus takes him on a personal lesson, and very similar as the disciples. He comes to him, he reaches down and saves him. He says, dude, you have a little faith. Why are you doubting this thing? Really? And then the Bible says they both entered the ship. They both go back to the boat. And you know, the other guys are just saying, Peter, you're stupid. You idiot. You went out to a tough man, didn't you? I was here, save me, Jesus! And he's like, phew. And he's probably feeling like a fool. And they're all sitting there together. You know what? Jesus meets us all where we're at, don't he? Right where we're at, even our stupidity sometimes. I just love this. It is I. Be not afraid. Because his presence is that big. I want you to know something. In Mark 6:51, it says, when they went up into the ship, the wind ceased. Matthew 14:32 says, when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus entered the boat, and like, lesson's over. The storm's done, right? Here's something kind of miraculous. It's only found in the Gospel of John. Look, everybody take your Bibles and look at John 6:21. I'm getting ready to finish, I promise. It says, then they willingly received him into the ship. And watch this. And immediately the ship was at the land where they went. John's the only gospel that says this. Ain't that? This is another miracle. Oh, Jesus walking on the water. You know, everybody's soiling their tunics, you know. This thing ain't looking very good. All this is happening, and you're like, all of a sudden Jesus comes on the boat in his very presence. And guess what? You're a good cheer. Inside, I'm here. Don't be afraid. And not only did the wind stop, all the toiling and the miles they'd been fighting and fighting and fighting and rowing and working the sails and doing all to get to where they were at, they couldn't get there. Jesus entered the boat. They were there. Sometimes we focus a little bit, you look at the destination. Hey guys, I think it's really important today's lesson that we learn. Make sure Jesus is the focal point of your journey. Make sure you're hearing his voice, that he's in your boat. Your boat is not going to float, man. Peter found that out, didn't he? Just taking his eyes off, and you're going to begin to sink. And some of you today, you know what? You might feel like, I'm sinking right now, dude. My spiritual life's down the toilet. I'm telling you right now, I feel like I'm sinking, dude. Well, I don't know. Why are you telling me? I ain't going to accomplish much of nothing. What you should do today, as a grown man, you should cry out like a 2-year-old girl and just say, Jesus, save me! And you're going to find the long arm of the Lord in that. He'll totally save you. That's your business. You got to do that. Immediately. Wow, the journey versus that destination. You know, once the wind ceased, the disciples had some things to say. And they said it like Matthew 14, here's what they said. The wind ceased, verse 33. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You think? We're 5 miracles in. You're like, my gosh. You're Jesus, the Son of the living God. He's like, wow. And he knew right then he was teaching the slow class. That's how it worked. But then in the book of Mark, check out this. It says in verse 51, he went up unto them into the ship and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. And then watch what verse 52 throws in. You know, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. They've already forgot about the feeding of the 5,000. They just didn't consider it anymore. They're on to a new adventure, you know. Why? Well, Well, this goes to show you, you know what a hard heart does? It's the principle of leadership. Like, people forget what you do for them. People will forget what you did for them yesterday. They want to know what you can do for them today. It's just true. We all know that. As a parent, we've all even tasted that and have experienced that too, right? They forget what you did yesterday. I'm telling you, I watch people walk out the store. I'm like, you guys were in divorce court when you came. You don't remember that? Do you remember all the nights that I left my family so we could sit around and open God's Word and show you the voice of Jesus and it patched you guys all up together? How can you walk away from that? I don't understand. That blows me away. It goes to show you. I don't know exactly what a hardened heart looks like. You know, maybe the hardening of the arteries. Maybe I can get that one. But how does a heart get hard? Well, I'll tell you what it does. You just forget the miracles that Jesus did last week. You're on to something new. You forget what He's done. And you'll find yourself in a place of hardening. And it's starting. Well, you better catch it now. You know what you need to do? Save me! I'm not the same man I used to be when I first got saved. Jesus, I used to love coming to church. I used to love fellowship. And I used to love this. And what happened to me? You just got hard. And just because I'm saying you're hard doesn't mean that I think that you're doing Harold. Oh yeah, that guy's out whoring around. I never said that. You don't have to do that, because when you do that, stuff becomes pretty clear. That guy, that girl's shooting thing. They're shooting. It's not. A lot of times what we do is we just choose things that are halfway. They're good. Instead of choosing what is great, man, what God said is the absolute best. So, man, I hope you enjoyed this story today. I really did. I don't have a lot of good points. No. I have a lot of good points. You always want like 3 points in a poem. That's the way it sticks with people. I don't have 3 points in a poem, but what I do love is I just love the little passages. Like, I just want you to know today, church, Jesus sees you toil. He sees you in your struggle. That's what He sees. He immediately and quickly. You know what? You know why God uses those words? Straightway and immediately? Because you are literally one decision away. Right now, everybody in this room, you are one decision away from changing everything. You realize that? You're one decision away today when we pray for you to say, God, I repent now. I've been doing things on my own and toiling. You'll start crying your eyes out and giving it to Him. You're literally one decision away, and then you'll literally, I don't know about you, I have prayed prayers like that before, and like, you get done and I'll just be like, I'm filled with healing right now. Like, I'm getting ready to just start floating. What is that all about? I'll tell you what it is. You cried out, and immediately He showed up. Straightway He delivers. That was the strong arm of the Lord right there, my friend. A lot of us have experienced it today. I don't know where you're at. Mom, this is a good day for you. You're not looking at this. I ain't doing this. I should be doing this. I wish I had more of this. I get it. You know what you do today? Jesus saved. Save me from being a bad mom. I feel like I'm doing that more and more. I'm stressed. I'm striving. Yeah, He sees us all there. So let's all bow our heads and just take a few moments and just do some business with the Lord. I want you to know that, man, the Lord's coming drawing nigh to you today. When the waves are contrary to you, when your boat's not heading in the direction, not getting there quick enough, it's just like salvation. He's coming to you. He's pursuing you. You know, He loves you that much. Even like Peter, some of you are like Peter, you know, you're doing things. And God even allows you to do things. You're a little bit bolder, a little bit more risky and do things, and you find yourself in failure. Feel like you're sinking today. You better cry out to the Lord. I love that song my daughter introduced me to here not too long ago. It's a song about, you know what Jesus does? He loves chasing rebels down. That's what He's doing today. There's a spot in the song, and every time it comes on, I'm not lying to you, almost every time it comes on, I get welled up. because a choir gets behind this guy and just says, because the song's called Chasing Rebels Down, and all of a sudden a choir comes behind him and just sings, "He's coming for you. He's coming for you. He's coming for you." I just love it, man. It just gets me emotional. Like, yeah, and that's, I just want you to know today, Jesus is coming for you. Lord, thanks for perceiving things that we don't know, that we don't understand, and then acting upon them. Jesus, help us to call on you. This week, remind us of this fifth miracle. God, I pray for the hardened heart in this room. There's people that are just losing because they forget the miracle you've done for them. Or they're forgetting what happened yesterday. And I pray that we can be reminded of that. I pray that we not get hardened, that we would trust you. Lord, I pray in the midst of our fear, we would cry out to you. Help the toiler, the one that's working and striving in this room, put them at peace this week. Peace with you. Man, Jesus, you've been so good to us. You've been good to the Maple City Baptist Church. God, you've been so good to me. I love it. I love you. Thanks for your constant pursuit of us in the midst of our ridiculousness. Keep still showing up. So in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.